I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Minnesota Football podcast, hosted by me, Tony Lieberts. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Tony Liebert and Instagram at Tony _ Liebert. That is Tony LIE, B as in boy, ERT. All right. For today's episode, we'll be recapping the Gophers' catastrophic loss to Northwestern. Catastrophic collapse. Just borderline. Blasphemous, just still in shock a little bit. This episode, we're going to go straight off the dome. No notes, no nothing. We're just speaking from the heart, from the dome, from the head. I mean, right off the bat. Okay, so recent memory, PJ Fleck era, people are going to talk about Bowling Green game, Northwestern game. A lot of people were talking about, which loss better, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that really matters. The reason why the Northwestern loss is different to me, in sports in general, you can always chalk up bad day to a bad day. World-class boxers, MMA fighters, some of the best teams ever, they have bad days. You just didn't have it. Something happened that day. It's hard to be on 24/7. But what's so weird about this game, the Gophers dominated Northwestern in the first half. They proved they're the far superior team. They proved they were the superior team that day. Then something happened at halftime. And you can't make excuses. That is a lack of discipline, a lack of coaching. That's what it is. That's coaching. And I think the theme of this Gophers team in 2023 specifically is coaching. Spoke about it last week a little bit. The North Carolina game, you can see pretty easy that talent is not the issue with this team. They matched up very well against North Carolina talent-wise. And I spoke about it last episode, too. I was starting to be a little positive, saying that he's showing me that he is a great talent evaluator and talent developer. He's finding these guys from the FCS level, finding these guys, the 3-star guys, guys like Darius Taylor, 4-star running back. He's a tremendous player that will have a career in the NFL. But he's a just he can be outcoached by me tomorrow in a football game. He's lost to David Braun, who had a 1-2 record entering their matchup, and he's lost to Scott Leffler, the head coach of Bowling Green, who's like 4-12 heading into their matchup. So he obviously can't be outcoached by me, but he can be outcoached by anyone on any given day. And that is a very weird position for any coach to be in, especially one that has led the Minnesota Gophers to their most successful years and seasons in 20, 30 years. And their stats, I'd say hundreds of years, but you can fit any narrative. The Gophers are playing some of their best football that they have in my lifetime, arguably the best. Therefore, for that reason, I don't think the Gophers should fire PJ Fleck. The main reason behind that as well, we are entering a very interesting inflection point of the college football landscape. There is going to be a lot of changes with the Big Ten, with the expanded playoff. And even though the Gophers just lost to Northwestern, I talked about it on the last episode. And what's so frustrating is I was confident in my prediction at halftime. I'm like, the Gophers are doing everything I expected them to do. And then they just, something happened. And it's a theme of this team that just, it snowballs. And the games like the Bowling Green game, like the Miami of Ohio game, it just, when the boat starts rocking, it keeps rocking. When there's a hole in the boat, PJ Fleck's not very good at plugging it. There's all of the boat weird phrases making fun of PJ Fleck are going to be very annoying. And they continue to be annoying. But I think it explains this very well. In those games, in this game, you start to see Northwestern come back a little bit, and the Gophers can't do anything. Like, just step on their throat, bro. You're averaging 7.5 yards per carry. We have zero answer for Darius Taylor. And then you just stop giving him the football. The one touchdown drive they had in the second half was all Darius Taylor. I don't care. The passing game is horrible. All this stuff. If you gave the ball to Darius Taylor every play on the second half, they're walking away with a win and a win by they're covering. They're a win by 2-3 touchdowns. Very reminiscent of, you know, the Falcons against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You start, why are you passing the ball? Why, like, what, why is Bryce Williams in the game? Like, it's like PJ Fleck's just beating himself. I just don't get it. It was, like, I'll admit, I was watching that game at halftime. Great college football slate overall. There were a couple other good games on. Halftime, the Gophers, they're far ahead, games in hand. You know, Arkansas, LSU was in a close one. Notre Dame, Ohio State, low-scoring game, great game. My eyes start turning to those games. I had four games on the screen, and then I keep looking back to the Gophers, and I'm like, what's going on? What happened? And I'm like, this half is terrible. It shows a lot of bigger issues of this team, but they're still going to win. That was in the back of my head. I'm like, I'm going to talk about how this virtually a loss, given how poorly they played in the second half, but they're not going to lose. And then it just kept crumbling. And I'm like, they're going to go to overtime. Where are they going to go to overtime? And I'm like, they're going to lose. How are they going to lose? I still can't necessarily believe what I saw. But back to my previous point, why I don't think the Gophers should fire PJ Fleck. With all these new teams coming to the Big Ten, with all the transfer portal, the NIL, all this stuff, you want a little stability. You get rid of a head coach here, you have no idea where the program's going to go. I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't have a surefire option, and the Gophers don't really do at this moment to replace PJ Fleck, gotta keep him. And fortunately, well, we've been in a position like this before, losing to Bowling Green. Gophers still won 9 games that year. And fortunately, PJ Fleck has shown that his teams can do this, where they just forget how to play football. And while that is a much bigger issue, winning 8-9 games for this program is a massive. You just got to stack wins they didn't stack a win here, but there's no reason why this team can't still win seven games. They got Louisiana next week, but I just don't understand how we got here, to be completely honest with you. It was lack of coaching, lack of discipline. Anyone who's listened to this podcast knows that I hosted with Matthew Trickett, I was a little more hard on PJ Flex in-game coaching. A little weird when you're hosting it with a player, but his in-game coaching is just atrocious. I saw someone say he's one of the worst in-game coaches in the Power 5. I don't think that's a hyperbole. But like I've spoken about a little earlier this year, great team builder, great GM of a college football program. He knows how to get players in. The Gophers have the talent right now to compete in the Big Ten West, but they aren't. So you point to coaching. But the interesting thing about college football is it's like 33% recruiting, 33% motivation, and 33% on-field coaching. PJ Flex really good at 66% of that, but third of that, he is one of the worst in the country, which is very interesting because, I mean, it's just many different things. A fourth and three, you didn't go for it late in the fourth quarter. Kicking a field goal against Northwestern in overtime when it's fourth and two on the goal line or whatever, and you're, again, you were running down their throat and they had no answer for you, and then you just stopped doing that. Everything about it was just horrible, just atrocious. There was just no, at halftime, I thought I was going to come on here and talk to you about how Darius Taylor is going to be the next great Gophers player, which he still can be. But we talked about last week about how everyone's scared the Gophers might lose him now. What a performance like this. Why the heck would a talent like that want to play for this program? They failed him. They're failing Nathan Kaliak-Manis with just the most conservative play calling ever. They're treating him like a baby giraffe that doesn't want to fail, that doesn't want to slip. And you're not putting him in a position to succeed right now. With that being said, I'm not saying he's playing great, but he was 8-for-8 in that first half, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns, probably his best half of the season. And then the second half, you throw like 4 passes. You're just 3 and out. It just, I don't know. When you're a fan looking at a game like this and you're looking for answers, when you're like, why is Brevin Spanford not getting the football? Why doesn't he look that good anymore? Why is Ethan playing so like vanilla? Why is everything so vanilla about this team? Why is Darius Taylor not getting the football? Why is the defense is absolutely crumbled? A lot of that points to coaching, because if you can find the answers, it's typically players. You're like, why does the offense stink? Oh, Ethan's not playing well. Ethan didn't play that poorly in that game. He just wasn't put in the position to succeed. And Darius Taylor probably did get hurt at the end of the game, and that's why he didn't play in overtime. But still, it was like, I was just speechless watching that unfold. I tweeted out, it was like watching a scary movie. Like, you didn't want to keep watching. You wanted to like turn away and close your eyes. And it just, PJ Fleck was outcoached by a guy who was a defensive coordinator at the FCS level last year. PJ Fleck's in his 7th year coaching in the Big Ten. 7th. And he just got outcoached by a guy in his 4th ever career game as a head coach. That's just where we are, where they are as a program right now. That can happen any game. They can also beat Penn State at home. They can also beat Auburn in a bowl game. They can also beat Iowa and Wisconsin this year. They can also maybe compete with Michigan at home. they have the players to do that, but they don't have the coaching to do it consistently. That's just where this program's at right now.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
And I by any means, I don't think you need to fire PJ Fleck, because what is that going to fix? You're going to just have to completely rebuild. This is not a program that you can just pick right up with another coach. Like, that's not going to solve anything right now. I think it just tells you who PJ Fleck is as a head coach. I think that's just where we're at. Just tells you that he has major deficiencies and there might be a ceiling with this program. But again, there's just no surefire solution right now. And by any means, that is not firing PJ Fleck, not firing your most successful coach in the past 30 years. That's not going to solve anything. And it's just a tough loss to swallow and to find answers. And that's why I'm pointing the finger at the head coach, because in those scenarios, it's your program. You're supposed to find the answers. And I don't think he even has the answers. I think he's smart enough of a guy. I think he's looking at himself in the mirror tonight and he's like, I don't know what happened. And that comes back to the program you built, the way you coach these players, the way you handled the halftime, whatever happened in that halftime. I'm still a little speechless. I just don't know, where you go from here. Gophers win next week. Let's say they win against Louisiana. They're sitting at 3-2 on the season. Then they got Michigan at home. Lose that game, let's say. 3-3 on the season. Obviously, a lot of Gophers fans didn't have the highest expectations heading into this year. And losing to Northwestern certainly does not help. But, okay, then they got a bye week. You readjust. You're 3-3. You're like, okay, that was an absolute... absolute just garbage water of a start to a season. But then you got at Iowa. Let's be honest, the Gophers have enough to beat Iowa. They still do. Their team's not different. They just played a chicken, garbage, horrible football game. So they're still the same football team. And if PJ Fleck wants to be considered a good coach, then... And he's shown the ability to do this before, like in the Bowling Green season. Just pretend that game didn't happen. They go 1-0 each week, like he always says. And they have enough talent to go 1-0 in the Iowa week. So let's go optimistic. They beat Iowa there. They're 4-3. Then they got Michigan State at home. Michigan State stinks. 5-3. Illinois at home. That's a game I circled all year. Let's say they lose that game. 5-4. Purdue on the road. They win that game. That's 6-4. Ohio State on the road. Lose that game. 6-5. Wisconsin at home. Win that game. 7-5. Not saying that's a likely scenario for this season. I mean, you still could beat Illinois too, but that's a realistic, positive hope. Like, that's a scenario that a Gophers fan could realistically hope for. And if that happens, a lot of people preseason were saying, oh, this is a 7-5, 8-14. They go 7-5 with wins over Iowa and Wisconsin. Gophers fans are going to forget about the Northwestern. It'll make it that much more frustrating because if that happens, the Gophers would likely be maybe a loss away from the Big Ten championship again. And then you can say that this is PJ Fleck's issue. He always has a stupid-ass loss in the game. But you have to still recalibrate your expectations now. You saw it with Colorado even this week nationally in college football. A lot of people, they're such a weird team because there's so much variance that they're jumping from 21-point underdogs, 21-point favorite, all this stuff. But that's besides the point. They get blown up by Oregon. You have to recalibrate your expectations for Colorado. The hype got a little too big. And you need to recalibrate your expectations for Gophers football. This isn't a talent thing, though. That's why this frustrates me as someone who is a fan of Gophers football. They didn't lose this game because there's not talent on the field. They lost this game because of coaching. They're thoroughly more talented than Northwestern. Thoroughly. They're just as talented as North Carolina. So that's the frustrating thing. And it's just a tough, tough pill to swallow. Like I said, though, in this game, some positives. Because you do have to take a step back and be like, it's not the end of the world they lost. They lost to a Big Ten school. It's not as embarrassing on a national level than losing to Bowling Green at home on homecoming. But I stated why I think the loss is worse and more frustrating. But you got to pick up the pieces. And PJ Fleck's shown the ability that he can do that. And that's why I think you don't make any rash decisions. I know on the Gopher Hole Twitter page, on my Twitter page, people are going to be calling for his head all year. K-Fan, you're going to get people saying PJ Fleck needs to be fired, which is just crazy talk at the end of the day. Because, again, if people acted like that and just made rash decisions off one result, and I know this isn't one result because he did it before against Bowling Green, but they were only 11.5-point favorites in this game. They were bigger favorites against Eastern Michigan. So it just got to pick up the pieces. Darius Taylor is a special player. I could use any adjective in the book, but he's a player that does not come around often. Probably will win Big Ten Freshman of the Week for the third week in a row. I truthfully believe he's one of the 10 to 15 best running backs in the sport already, which is remarkable luck for the Gophers after losing Muhammad Ibrahim and losing Bucky Irving to the transfer portal. They might have got someone better, which is crazy. But it's hard to see that as a huge positive after a game like this. There are massive issues with this offense. The offensive play calling might have gotten worse. Greg Harbaugh Jr. has not shown anything that tells me he is a great offensive play caller, which is just truth. That doesn't say he can't be one in the future, but they've scored 13, 25, 13, and 34 points. And And this offense has way more potential to be doing that. Ethan needs to be playing better. It's a little bit on him, a little bit on the offense. I don't really know what happened in the for the defense in the second half there. There's an issue with the secondary right now. They can be passed on. I don't know why Northwestern wasn't able to in the first half and they were in the second half, but David Braun made halftime adjustments and PJ Fleck didn't. That's a coaching thing. When I was in high school playing high school football, I'd get so frustrated when my coaches wouldn't make halftime adjustments. That's the whole point of halftime in football. And that's what separates good coaches from great coaches. Maybe we look back on this, and this is a huge point for David Braun, and he becomes a better head coach than Pat Fitzgerald. And we're like, maybe that wasn't such a bad loss. Northwestern somehow makes a bowl game this year. I mean, they do already have two wins, same as the Gophers, and they got Howard on their schedule. The Gophers don't have Howard on their schedule. But, yeah, the Gophers secondary right now is just not playing well. North Carolina was able to pass on them pretty easily. But again, Gophers secondary made some plays in that game. It's not this huge issue. It's just when you go three and out, it's the same thing. The Gophers are just – they have no passing game at all, and their offense is so predictable. And they just sit there and hope their star running back and great defense bails them out. And they just sit on their hands and they're just like, oh, Darius Taylor and our defense will solve our issues. Well, you have other things you can do in the game. You watch teams like Ohio State and Georgia. They have a great defense. They have a great running back. But they realize if you add a layer, you become that much better of a team. You can win 7, 8, 9 games with a great defense and a great running back. Because that's college football. Teams like Northwestern, you're going to beat them most of the time. Teams like Michigan State now. Teams like Purdue, Eastern Michigan, Nebraska. You're going to beat them. But you're not going to beat good teams. And you can have games like this playing that way because you're one-dimensional. This team is just incredibly one-dimensional. It's been one-dimensional every year since 2019. The reason they were so successful in 2019 is because they weren't one-dimensional. And you can win 9 games being one-dimensional, but you're going to have games like this because you create holes on your team that can be exposed. And this team has major holes. They have an incredibly below-average passing attack that is quite embarrassing given the talent that they have at the pass catching positions. They have multiple players in my eyes that will play in the NFL. Brevin Spanford will play in the NFL, even though he has struggled this year. He is a great tight end talent. Daniel Jackson will play in the NFL, in my opinion. Corey Crooms is showing that he has the potential to play in the NFL. Lamecki Brockington, you need to get him the football more. They showed that on. That would have been the second drive after the turnover. He is a great wide receiver that has only done good things with the ball in his hands. Got to get him the ball. But they just have a copious amount of talent on the outside of this football team in the skill positions, and they're just not doing anything with it right now. And it is just incredibly frustrating. I think this is the second most talented team in the Big Ten West. We're more talented than Wisconsin right now, if you look at our roster, in my opinion. We're right up there with Iowa. Ethan might be a more talented quarterback than Cade McNamara. He's not playing like it, but we're right up there with Iowa, in my opinion. Probably would take Iowa over, to be honest. They got better offensive line, much better. But just inexcusable. Bad thing is, as a Gophers fan, been here recently, again, like the Bowling Green game, you just got to look at the next game. Take it one game at a time. If they beat Louisiana, You take the momentum into the Michigan game. You just go one game at a time. You reassess at the end of the season. You don't win championships in 1 week. You win it in 12. And you don't fire coaches in 1 week. Fire them over a long period of time. And PJ Fleck has won 9 games each of the last 2 seasons. And you can't just throw that out the window and be like, well, he loses to bummy teams. Which it is true. But not you're not going to find a guy off the street that can win you 9 games in Minnesota. So that's why I think they should keep on to him. Like I said, this loss is still inexcusable. There's no excuses for this. But you're just backed into a corner right now. You got to just do something about it. Instead of pointing the finger and being, whoa, it's me, having that mentality. Why do the Gophers always lose? Blah, blah, blah. Why is Minnesota sports like this? As a fan, you can say that. But as a coach in a program, you have to now do something about it. They effed up. You got to fix your mistake now. And you fix that by beating Iowa and Wisconsin this year. You have the ability to do that. There's no reason why they cannot do that. This team is good enough. They have the players. Coach, call better plays. Make better adjustments. Those are all fixable issues for a guy who's in his 7th year head coaching at one school. And 11th total, he had maybe 4 years at Western Michigan off the top of my head. These issues shouldn't be happening. Unfortunately, it happened, though. Nothing you can do about it now. You only can fix it, like I said. Yeah, he had 4 years at Western Michigan. This is 11th season as a head coach. Something else. Well, I feel like I can just repeat myself over and over now. Like anyone listening to this, tough loss to swallow. Didn't really enjoy talking about it right now, but it's on to the next. As always, I appreciate everyone for listening. Row the boat, Skyu Ma, and go Gopher.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.